series of papers that we've done on strategies to assure access and equity. I think you're familiar with most of the traditional barriers to access for care. One that hasn't been talked about very much is the use of state dental practice acts to prevent postdoctoral residents from practicing within entities of various states. So I wanted to talk a little bit about what some of the issues were. I wanted to tell you a little bit about Lutheran Medical Center, which Beth, I think, has just done better than I could, and then go through a few case studies of some of the problems we've encountered, some of the solutions, and to date, some of the problems we still face. The issues are state dental practice acts serve as covert barriers to access. Regulations can be worded in various ways, such as residents must have a license in another state, failure to have provisions that offer residents temporary licensure in programs accredited by CODA and the ADA, or postdoctoral programs in states must be under the aegis of a health science center or dental school and supervised by faculties with appointments at such entities. Some states do not require a board examination these days, but rather require a one-year postdoctoral residency for licensure. And that brings up another issue. By the time residencies begin on July 1st for most programs, the overwhelming majority of residents are not licensed, thus decreasing the applicant pool dramatically. There's currently concern by state dental societies and boards regarding access to care problems facing much of the population. Other issues are supervision issues as well. It's important to note that residency training programs account for an integral part of the nation's safety net capacity, accounting for care in approximately 2.7 million patients annually. Lutheran Medical Center is a 476-bed hospital associated with a large federally qualified health center that provides over 600,000 encounters and 75,000 dental encounters annually. There are about 120,000 dental encounters at our extramural training sites and partnerships. This is a map of where we are in Brooklyn, New York. We have a service learning mission, which you have in your slides, and I'm going to go through this very quickly. Vision, mission, health policy. Our current workforce strategy is to develop collaborative partnerships with federally qualified health centers, Indian Health Service sites, or any other entity that can provide excellent clinical training to postdoctoral residents. It's not a rotation. It's important to note that. It's rather a 1 or 2 year experience at a partnering site. This is a summary of the five programs we currently have. The number of residents enrolled is about 120 as we speak. This is a map of where our programs are. The blue is where we hope them to be in the future. Caribbean as well, we have a relationship with one international school in Trinidad, University of the West Indies, and Commonwealth of Puerto Rico and the territory of the United States Virgin Islands. We provide our education through distance learning. We believe that all residents should receive the same educational experience in terms of didactics, and it provides equity in the educational experience across all programs. Go through this quickly. Problems and solutions. These are some case studies. I didn't want to name the state because I thought they should be anonymous. And I also wanted to test your geographic knowledge. Anyway, this state had no provision for temporary licensure nor barrier residency training programs. They had 14 federally qualified health centers, and actually it's been the most successful state in our partnerships. We have 8 to 12 residents per year at about 15 visits annually. In other words, this state produces about 12 to 18,000 visits to underserved populations annually. A real success. The next state, you may not know this one, had no provision to license or permit residents. There are 14 FQHCs. We made contact with the state board, FQHCs, Primary Care Association, and obtained their support. The State Dental Practice Act was changed in this state within 6 months. Presently, about 7,500 to 9,000 visits a year are being given to underserved populations at the FQHCs within the state. This state, you may or may not know, had no provision applicable to our programs when we first tried to get into it. It has 110 FQHCs. We worked with and got the support of the State Dental Board. California Dental Association was quite helpful, and the Primary Care Association. During the process, there was a sunset provision that occurred during our request for change. The Practice Act was eventually amended to exempt from licensure residents in CODA ADA accredited programs. There was about a 2-year delay when this happened. First residents started in this state in July of this year. It's interesting to note that the estimated number of visits that could have been provided or were lost due to this time lag was about 15,000 visits annually in the state in which we are right now. This state had no provision for licensure or exemption of residents outside of an affiliation with a health science center or dental school. 21 FQHCs. The state ranked 37 out of 50 in dentist to population ratio. The partnership in this state is with the AHEC and dental school, and we established through negotiations with the dean and key faculty at the dental school. Affiliation agreement was signed exempting residents from licensure. However, they had to be supervised by a dentist with a state license and faculty appointment at the dental school. Time lapse was 6 months. In contrast to this state, this territory had no provision for resident exemption outside the health science center. We made a pitch to the dental board, having translated the Dental Practice Act into English, and were denied that request. The remaining pathway was to negotiate with the dean and key faculty. We signed an affiliation agreement after a 2-year lapse. However, we had to make a payment to the university in order for this to occur. 7 residents are currently enrolled, providing about 10,500 visits. The visits lost to time lapse was about 10,500. This state had no provision to exempt licenses. We got the support of FQHCs, PCAs, and others, made a presentation before the board. The board eventually rejected that. We continue to request an appearance before the board. We have one coming up imminently. Time lapse has been 2 years. Lost number of visits is about 12,000. This state, interesting state, no provision to license or exempt residents who do not have a license in another state. The state ranks 49 out of 50 in dentist to population ratio. We got support from PCAs, FQHCs, made presentation before the state boards to change language in the Practice Act. Request was denied with no reason. We made contact with governor, other political people, lieutenant governor, along with other legislators, new chair appointed to the board, second appearance occurred last Friday. There's a sunset provision in process. Time lapse has been close to 3 years. Visits lost annually was 12,000. We had an interesting experience in this state with a lieutenant governor of that state. After receiving a letter from us, and the governor said to the effect that, get these guys off my back. And so far, they've been real successful. Well, William Faulkner. Faulkner once said, referring to the South, that the past isn't dead, it isn't even past. We've encountered that. State boards, rationale, I'm going to go through this quickly. I think you're aware of most of these things. Lessons learned, future strategies, persistence essential, flexibility in finding pathways to licensure, support of PCAs and FQHCs was of questionable value in our opinion. Educating state boards is critical, along with emphasizing the need for that, to recognize access as a problem, stressing the importance of public accountability. The relationship between boards and dental societies can't be underestimated. Utilization of political and legislative pathways, and then trying to surmount the local versus outsider conundrum. Estimated number of visits to underserved loss due to inaction and delay on the part of state boards in this process is about 111,000. Machiavelli said probably better than I could, and one should bear in mind that there is nothing more difficult to execute, nor more dubious of success, nor more dangerous to administer than to introduce a new order of things. For he who introduces it has all those who profit from the old order as his enemies,